Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, Darnell Denzel Williams. He's an author, a motivational speaker, and a community leader who works closely with people of the community to make a difference in the interactions of people. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Welcome to the show, Didi.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been starting my episodes with a quote, so I picked one out for you, okay?
Okay.
Glory gives herself only to those who have always dreamed of her. And that's by Charles de Gaulle. Can you tell me, what does glory mean to you?
Well, glory is literally something I actually sit around and dream about. I am a big daydreamer when it comes to things, because I believe in, first, a vision before reality. So glory to me is seeing something in my head that I want to accomplish and have happen, and then going forth and taking those steps to succeed in it. And so when I hear the word glory, I try to think of myself accomplishing the goals that I want to have happen for me.
Okay, so here's the deal. I've known you for a long time. I mean, I was your freshman English teacher back when you were only 14 years old. So, Didi, it was really easy for me to come up with a passage that I felt truly, truly represented your soul. And you are a very special person. You're very special to me, and you're really, really special to a lot of people around us. So when I said glory gives herself only to those who have always dreamed of her, this has been a vision that not just you felt, everybody can see coming out of you. So I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy for my listeners that they get to hear from you today and they get to be motivated by you today.
Wow. I really appreciate that. I wish you could see my face right now, because it just lit up like Christmas. If you would have told me 10 years ago that some 14-year-old boy could make a difference and change and have an impact on so many lives, I would have just smiled and shook my head and go, no, not me, not right now.
And you know what I would like you to do is, can you give our listeners a picture of how you just said that your passion is to make a difference in the world? Can you give everybody a story about how this started for you?
Well, if we're going to go back to the beginning of how it started, we got to go back to my family and who they are. My father spent 20 years in the service as air traffic control, and my mother is a hospice nurse. So my family and I, we had a chance to travel from place to place, and we moved a lot. I was probably in maybe 4 or 5 different elementary schools. I had to make a lot of new friends and make them very quickly. But I kind of liked that, where it's always sad to have to say, see you later, because we don't believe in goodbyes in my family. But it's something that was exhilarating and thrilling to know that we were going off to a new place, a new setting, to see more faces, to learn more names, and to learn more stories about people and life. And my father played a huge role in that, about, you know, being a young man and just going out there and having yourself set sail to the world, if you will.
So the first thing you're saying is you knew at a young age that you were a people person.
Yes. It was put in me for sure.
Right, that you really enjoyed people and you enjoyed learning about them and their stories. So you were interested in people right off the bat.
Yes.
Okay, so where did making a difference come in?
Well, it was kind of cool to, I thought as a young boy, I'm like, wow, my father's out there, you know, fighting and doing something so cool. How can I be a part of that? And to be honest with you and the listeners, I wasn't going to war. That's what I wasn't going to do. And my mother, very energetic, very high energy, always with a big smile on her face. And she always knew how to hold an audience as well. And I would look at both my parents and go, oh, why can't I do that? I love what they're doing. I love how much fun they're having doing it. And I saw people flocking to my mother about how their lives were being changed and how good that made her feel. And she started to instill in us, you can do anything. It doesn't matter what you look like or, you know, who is saying that you can't. And that meant a lot to me.
So you made this decision then to do what?
I made the decision that I wanted to change as many lives as possible. It did not happen right away. It took a lot of trial and error. And I have to be very honest with you and the listeners. It took me getting to a very low point in my life. I guess that at some point, it became difficult to really find yourself because I felt like I was leaving pieces of me everywhere.
Okay, so tell me, what was the first thing that you feel like, you know what, I put myself out there and yes, I made a difference. What was that first moment like?
I think that first moment came for me is when I was in high school and it was something so random. There was this blood drive coming up for high school kids to get involved with blood donations. And the teachers came up to me and said, you know, Didi, we would like you to speak. And at the time, I believe I was a peer leader and I was really getting into a lot of good things at the school and really being involved. And I'm like, speak about what? And I was nervous, but I remember going up there for the first time and they handed me a microphone and I kind of said, I don't need a mic. And I remember speaking out loud about the passion of life that I had, because what the listeners may not know as well is that I have an older brother who suffers from sickle cell anemia. And it's a blood disease common among African Americans, and it involves a lot of blood transfusions. So I don't believe the teachers really knew that, but this was big for me because I wanted to see people give back in a good way. So I knew I had to be a voice for it.
You know, what's amazing about that is how life, I always talk about this on my show here, how life is a process and everything happens for a reason and nothing is coincidence. I didn't know this. Actually, the year that this happened for you was the year that I was out from teaching. Mm-hmm. So when I came back the next year, all of a sudden Didi was famous at the high school. And now I'm understanding why listening to this story, but how perfect for you, what a message for you to say, take this opportunity that truly means something for you and put yourself out there with the truest intentions and feel what that feels like, son, because that's what your life should be about. That sounds like the message, knowing you and knowing the story now, that sounds like the message you were being given.
Absolutely. And when that was said and done, after I was done speaking, there was no speech written down. There was, you know, it was just me, my voice, and my heart. And when I was done and those kids stood up and we went from, I can't even make this up, I think there were maybe 3 kids on that sign up list, to they needed to bring in extra, you know, lists where people can sign their name on it, and that we actually had to turn some kids away just because they weren't even old enough to donate blood at the time.
And I have seen your power with those students, not just then, which would be the next year when I came back, but last year, how many years later now, they brought you back and you were a motivational speaker for the students and you did an assembly and it was amazing.
Yes, that was probably a huge moment in my career, in my future of what I'm trying to do and trying to put out there. And again, it was just one of those moments in my life and in my career and everything that I was striving for and still striving for today, where you could feel the strong energy in that room. Everybody stopped, they inched in, and they wanted to hear. And for me, that was beyond powerful, beyond words, if you will.
It was really a beautiful moment, because for me to see you in that light, knowing that that's where you were headed in your life, was really a beautiful moment for me as well. You touched briefly on a time where things weren't always so easy. So I'm wondering, in between those two moments, what hesitations or hangups have you had?
This is where I think about one of my favorite people to read about in history, and his name is Frederick Douglass. And he once said, without struggle, there is no progress. And I feel like I've made a lot of progress in my life because of the struggles I had to go through. There have been two main struggles in my life that I've had to cope with time and time again. And one that I'm sure a lot of people go through is the feeling of worthlessness and not feeling so good about yourself. And there was a time for me in my life where every day I struggled with my own identity. And it was hard to look in the mirror. It was hard to love the reflection. I look back. And to be honest with you, and a lot of people may not know this, it had a lot to do with, it's not, people from the outside looking in might say, oh, he's so good. He's well-spoken. You know, he dresses nice. He has his good suits on. When they didn't know the struggle behind the scene of trying to make that person that they saw match up. And this whole idea of being a good person, having good character.
Listen, having good character, especially as a young adult, is from high school and then your college years, to always fly straight when you have so many people looking, because you really have a lot of followers. How many friends do you have on Facebook?
I have almost probably 4,000 friends, and that was after deleting many of them.
4,000 friends on Facebook.
Yes.
Okay. And always flying straight as a young adult.
Yes.
As a college student at Rutgers University.
Yes.
That's a challenge.
Yes.
But you've done that.
Yes.
And how did you overcome that?
I think this is important for the listeners to know. I was at Rutgers with he's still my best friend to this day. And he has seen all kinds of sides of me. You know, when you live with someone, they see everything. And he would listen to my late night phone calls with people who just needed to hear someone speak to them. He would watch me, you know, whether I was reading certain books or I was saying prayers at night or just listening to music to find an escape. And one day we came back to Manchester and he was with me and people were screaming my name, Dee Dee, and oh my God, Dee Dee, and coming up and giving me hugs and stuff. And he kind of gave me that side look. And one day we're having a talk, probably 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And he says, you know, my biggest fear for you is, and I looked at him and I said, your fear for me? He goes, yeah. What are you going to do when that's all gone? When people are no longer running up and screaming your name, when they get older and realize that they may not need you anymore. And I looked at him and I was silent for a moment because his words, they stung. And I says to him, listen, I'm always going to be doing this. This is what I was put on this earth to do. And yes, I will continue to grow up and age and so on and so forth. But I'm going to keep fighting this fight. And he looked at me and he says, you know, that's what makes you you.
That's right. So at what point did you feel like I am in the right direction? that this is meant for me to be long-term?
I could probably give you a million and one examples. I have had people write me letters from not just here in New Jersey, but from all over the states. People from as far as Arizona and California who have written me letters, and they've written poems, and a lot of the letters in which I hang up on my wall today, that I'm looking at right now as I speak to you, they've written hero essays in class. And I look at these things and I read these things, and it reminds me that, yes, you are doing well. You still have this. And it's an honor, to be honest with you. And it shows me that I have to keep on that straight line, if you will, that people are still looking towards me and that it must continue in the right direction. Do you mind if I give a personal example of something recently that just happened?
No, absolutely.
Unfortunately, our Manchester community experienced another passing away of one of our youths just at a young age. And when I found out the news, I remember just stopping, because this was a young lady that I knew and who would come to me. And she was one of those kids that screamed, "Dee Dee," when she saw me and gave me a hug and smiled at me.
Right. And she drowned.
Yes, ma'am. And it was devastating. And as soon as my phone rang from one of the students, they said, "We need you." And then all of a sudden my phone rang again. And then text messages started to flow in not too long after that. Then Facebook messages started to come in. And I said, "Dear God." And I knew, you know, something needed to be said. And just the other night, this past Saturday, I went to a church to do a candle lighting for this young lady who passed away. And I had no idea, you know, that I was going to be one of the people speaking on the behalf of her and for her family.
I'm going to be honest with you also. I immediately went to your Facebook page.
Mm.
Because that's who you are in this community. You
Yes.
are a community leader. You're a liaison between, I mean, I was one of the teachers, right? So mm-hmm. between the teachers, the adults, and the kids, you are a liaison between those two worlds.
Yes. Yes. And I felt in my heart that I needed to say something. And when I put up that status on Facebook, you know, and I know, people were looking for that. And they needed that. And not just people in this community, but other communities as well.
And not just the kids, the adults, the staff.
Yes,
such
yes,
a comfort.
Yes.
Dee Dee, what have you learned about yourself in this process?
Wow, I can't make this up. When I was done speaking on Saturday on the behalf of her family, I got in my car. There were kids that came up to me crying and oh, man, just there was so much pain. And my heart broke for them, and I cried with them, and it was a moment. And when I got in my car, I literally said to myself, "This is real." And when I say this, I mean being the rock and being a guide for people who need it, and being a beacon of hope, if you will. And literally, as I'm driving away, I get a message on my Facebook, and it's not from a friend. I don't have this person as a friend, but they just found me and they sent me a message, and they said, "You probably don't even know my name, but I'm one of the students at the high school, and I've heard you speak over the years, and I want to say thank you for your words. And I screenshotted that, and I said, oh my God. And this is a person, again, who doesn't even know how much I admire them, and I've seen some of the works they've done at the high school. But they made it a point to reach out to me to simply say thank you. And what was more touching about this person reaching out to me was after they reached out, they said, and if you ever need anything because of who you are and because of what you have to go through in this community, I will listen to you.
That's really beautiful. And the whole point is, you know, you want to make a difference. And look at that. You have somebody reaching out and you are changing the community and the makeup of the community just by being that positive role model. And I remember when you and I had a conversation maybe 5 years ago or so, and I said to you, I pulled you into my room, my classroom, where the kid, because I couldn't have a conversation with you out in the hallway where all the kids are, dee-dee. And I said to you, you know, I'm worried about you because of the expectations. You're a young man, and these are very big shoes. Not that, and I said, not that I don't think you can handle it, but this is long-term. This is real.
Yes.
And here you are still doing it. So have you had any good advice along the way that's helped you deal with all of this? Or that's inspired you to make a difference? I mean, what advice stands out to you that you've received along the way?
I think it's important that I say this part before I get to the advice. There was a point in time last year, April 29th, I got a phone call that changed my life, that let me know that my father had a heart attack and that he passed away. And I remember crying from my soul that night because I could not believe that at 43 years old, a man who had done so much for other people and who kept love in his heart and who reminded me that when times got rough, because it did get rough, and that includes with him as well, that not to hold hate or to be angry, but to simply sit down, visualize and make a plan and then follow through. And I think in my earlier, you know, 20s and, you know, 18, 19 years of age, I was like, what? That's what you're giving me? Because I couldn't understand, and it wasn't meant to be understood, not at that point.
Right.
So I know that now. And my father, see, he never got a chance to hear me speak. And for the listeners who don't know this, I live here in New Jersey, and my parents and my entire family live in Chicago. So I always wanted them to come back to New Jersey to see what their son was doing for them and for this town.
Which I always felt was completely amazing that, and I remember saying this to you, how have your parents never seen this? This is really special. This, you are making an amazing difference here and you are loved by, I've never seen anybody, I have still never seen anybody loved by a community like I see them embrace you, and like because you embrace them.
Yes. Well, I got to be honest with you and the listeners. It was a point that when he passed away, I said to myself, I'm done. I thought this was it. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I needed to, dear God, I went back home the very next day to see my mother laying there on that couch and to pick her up and to lie with her in bed and remind her I love you. I'm right here. And I start thinking and reevaluating my own life and thinking in my head, did I tell my dad I loved him enough? Did I tell him thank you enough? And I kid you not, just 4 or 5 weeks later, I get a phone call from Manchester Middle School asking me if I'm going to come back and speak. They have a day called Stand By Me Day where different speakers come in. And I've been doing that for maybe 5 or 6 years. And I was thinking in my head, no, I'm not coming in. You know, why doesn't the world see that I'm down and out for the count when in fact I wasn't down at all? I was gaining revelation to my own path in life. And that, for me, coming back to speak to those kids after what had took place in my life, I knew for sure that my father was listening and that he was proud. So the piece of advice or advices or the many things that I hold on to is something that I have from him. And can I share that with you?
Sure.
And I have this highlighted in my room from a letter that him and my mother sat down and wrote for me. And it says, all we ask is that you never lose your determination, drive, and character that brought you to where you are today, and to stay focused in all your endeavors. And my father's final text message to me, he said, the words I think I had been looking for so long. I am proud of you. I love you. And don't stop doing what you're doing. But while you do it, never forget to pray and to stay the path. And when times, because life will throw curveballs at you, and times will continue to get hard, I remember that.
Right. Well, that's excellent advice. And I mean, it's evident in how you give it back to those same words you give back to the community around you. I've heard you say words similar, and I have seen you post words similar to that. And I've also heard you say the phrase, I am worthy. You are worthy.
Yes.
Those are amazing words, especially to teenagers. So, okay, you've given us this amazing story and an amazing picture of you and who you are. And I know that we have a lot of listeners who are trying to touch base with something that would ignite some kind of passion in them. And my goal is to show them how to incorporate some of whatever my listeners are doing in their lives, if it's what moves them. So for you, it's impacting the community or making a difference in the world. Yeah. Can you give them some, maybe a book that you've read that they could read on their own that would inspire them as it did you?
Absolutely. So sometimes in life and just in general, we forget how important energy is. Energy is something that never dies. It just moves along and keeps going. So I read this really awesome book by John Gordon, and it's called The Energy Bus. But what I like about this book called The Energy Bus is it's not one of those simple how-to guides, if you will. It doesn't just say, then you should do this, and then you should do that. Because I think for some people, that just sounds like, well, I know that. What this book does is that it tells a story about a gentleman who life keeps throwing these balls at him. And he's like, now what? But he meets somebody who's driving a bus, so to speak, a bus driver. And this bus driver is always just happy. And he's like, I'm miserable. What are you happy for?
Right.
And sure enough, without giving away too much, he learns about this idea of life, and he starts looking forward to this bus ride. best part about this book is that it teaches us we're all drivers to our own bus. Sometimes we're going to stop and pick people up. Other times we're going to drop people off. It's this never-ending road of turns and curves and straight shots and destinations. And it's what we want it to be because we are the drivers.
I'm a firm believer in the concept that energy attracts like energy. So if you're going to put out into the world that you are a victim, or if you are filled with anger and conflict, or if you are somebody who puts out into the world that I can give and I feel worthy enough to receive as well, whatever it is that you're putting out into the world, you're going to get back.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the energy bus is definitely a favorite. Now, what about some kind of more contemporary resource? It could be something online or an organization, something that's current.
Well, if we're talking about volunteer and being a volunteer, the one thing that I used to actually do a couple years ago in the city of Camden, actually, is I volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club. That was something that was enriching in my own life, because now not only do you get a chance to work with children who some of them, you know, have different backgrounds and different life stories, you start to find a lot about yourself and what you can and cannot handle.
That's a great organization. They can always use your help.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what happens next. Next, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit, and we are going to do what I call the Motivate Me Express to Success 1 minute responses, okay? I believe that there are three main steps in the motivational process. I like to keep it simple, but keep it big. So envision is the first step. Second is explore, and the third is execute. So if somebody wakes up today and they say, I want to make a difference in the world, what do they need to envision first?
The first thing they need to envision is how they want to do it. What aspect of that do you want to get into? Because sometimes making a difference can simply giving a phone call to a friend that you haven't spoken to in a long time and reminding them how much you love them, or a family member. So when we say envision, we're saying put yourself there, and where is there for you?
It sounds like what you're saying is to envision yourself reaching out to others.
Yes, you have to literally put it in your head, you, because that's the best way to reach out to people. It starts with you.
Okay, so to explore, how can they explore making a difference in the world?
It's so interesting and it's so simple. It's get up and get out. When you get up and get out, you start to see the world for what it is. And then you start to get a chance to understand the different pleasures in life that are out there that are far beyond closed doors of staying inside and doing nothing at all. So when you explore, you're looking for something new, something adventurous, something different.
Go ahead. We're twins.
I was going to say, and sometimes that exploring can simply be a walk around a neighborhood that you've never been in before.
It's amazing how something so simple is so big. Okay, execute. What kind of action can they take?
Okay, the execute part now actually comes in the doing of it. So, for example, I have to give this full example. I envision myself making a difference in the city of Camden when I lived there for a little while. I needed to explore my surroundings and see what it was like. So every night, at night, I took a walk around Camden.
I'm sorry, but some people would say that's not too safe.
No, it's not safe. And it's not, but see, here's the thing. That's not for everybody. That was my envision. And that's
I understand. I'm just being your mom.
No, that's okay. That's okay, because I wanted to see it for myself, if you will. And here's what I found out, that there are kids, just like the kids here, there are people just like the people here in where I live. So how did I execute that? I decided to do something very simple. What I did was I bought equipment for the kids and basketballs and stuff. That's how I executed my envisioning of helping change so that these kids could be a part of something. Now, does that stuff, is it still there now? Probably not. Who knows? But for the time it was there, did it make a difference? You better believe it did.
That's beautiful. Okay, so something else, and I know I mentioned it in the beginning of the show that I truly believe life is a process. And I also believe that we can create vision maps in our brain that drive ourselves to complete goals. So
Yes.
if I was to ask you where you see yourself 5 years from now, what would you say?
In 5 years from now, I would almost be 30 years old. And honestly, I would be married. I could possibly be a father. Who knows? Maybe one on the way. And more importantly, I would be working in education still. And I would definitely be working on getting a master's and moving towards the administration field to become a principal. I would spend my off time still giving speeches to different kids and motivating them through different districts and townships. And by then, I would have written another book, which is a follow-up book to the first book that I wrote. So
Which
there's a lot.
I want to talk about that book in a minute, okay? But while we're on this roll of talking about making a difference in everything you just said, what closing advice would you give listeners to get them to move in that direction?
It's very simple. I'm going to give it to you first. The first step is in two words: be bold. You want to do something in your life to make a difference? Be bold about it. Be bold in every action that you want to have happen, whether that's becoming a cook, a teacher, a chef, or someone who just wants to make a difference. You have to be bold in it. And then the second part of that closing advice is something that I call power of I am, is the most powerful being verb there is. Whatever you fill the phrase I am with is what you are. So you need to feel that I am with something so positive, so amazing that it makes a difference to you. Every day, that's what I do before I head out my door. So it's always different now. Sometimes it's I am worthy. Sometimes it's today I am successful. I am brilliant. I am a genius. I am going to make this happen. So no matter what it is for you, the power of I am is what's going to drive you there to help you be bold into doing it.
Now, talk to me about the novel that you wrote. When you wrote the novel, how old were you?
I was 17 when I first started writing the book, and I was 18 years old when I became a published author.
Okay, and tell us what that book was about.
So this book is entitled The Covert Peace, peace spelled PEACE, and the word covert means hidden. So it's basically about the hidden piece of life, if you will. Four girls take this journey in life with all different walks of life. You have one girl who is dealing with weight issues, who doesn't really love herself so much. You have another girl who is as beautiful as can be, but she's in an abusive relationship. You have another girl who runs away from all of her problems because that's just the way to handle it. And then you have another girl who is just simply lost in needing love, so she'll cling on to anything or anybody. And all of these girls meet one person that helps them or brings them through their issues in life. But the problem is, or the profound thought is, who or what is that person? What keeps us going when there's simply no hope? Are there really good people in this world? Is there angels that walk among us? Or is that person within us the entire time? Did this person ever exist?
I don't think that I've ever met anybody with such a strong sense of purpose in their life, where we can so clearly go back and look at the history of your only short life to see your direction so clearly. So the fact that at 17 years old, you were writing this novel that really is the message, I'm worthy, that you came, yeah. that you embraced later after you wrote the novel, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that's amazing in itself. Now, is this book, The Covert Peace, is this book on Amazon?
Yes, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. In fact, this was a blessing in my life. There was a Barnes & Noble down in Brick, New Jersey. It sold out of there 15 straight times before they actually stopped holding the book in their store and decided to just have it online.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't even know that. I know I purchased mine online. Yes. I bought two copies, one for my students, one for myself. And so I do remember that. So you're writing a sequel?
Yes, it's actually going to be more like a prequel to it. The story behind the story kind of deal. And I'm actually getting help from a Rutgers University professor who is has her doctorate in psychology. So we're working together to better understand the mind of our youth to help drive home a better story and to help better relate to the characters so that we can find solutions to problems that we might not even know exist in certain kids.
That's outrageous. I'm really, really excited for that. I mean, just knowing, you know, you have 4,000 friends on Facebook and over over half of them are probably teenagers. And not that, I mean, anybody can read the book and get something out of it. So I think that's really, you have such a target audience for that too, of kids and people that will benefit from everything that you're going to be sharing in that novel. Now, here's something else that I know you're going to be super excited about. I'm putting together and building with my guests and my listeners as one of my goals for my 5-year plan is to create a community and the Motivate Me ultimate support system where everybody is friends on Facebook. So that way, when your novel is finished, or if anybody wants to reach out to you and, you know, if somebody wants to give you advice about something they think you'd be great for, just creating an amazing network and community of people. So that's what I'm trying to do next. So one way everybody will be able to get in touch with you will be through the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page. But what other ways can they get in touch with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook as Darnell Denzel Williams. I'm also on Instagram as Mr. D, D-E-E underscore Williams, and always through email. My current email is Darnell Denzel at gmail.com.
Okay.
So there's a couple different avenues, and I'm excited for people to reach out.
I am so happy. My heart is full. Now that I've had you here with me doing this really special podcast, you and I have always shared such a special relationship. Ever since you graduated, we always connect at least once or twice a year, and we have our heart-to-hearts, and we've always been on the same page with just such passion for people and wanting to help people and wanting people to live better lives and be happier with themselves and their lives. And we always want to build people up, and it means so much to us to do that. And when we talk, we're just blah, blah, blah. We just don't stop. And we're always similarly doing new, different things at the same time that we have so much to say. And I truly appreciate you as a person. I love having you in my life. I know so many people are just incredibly lucky to have you to turn to. I don't know where you get your strength from, but it's beautiful, really.
Wow. I thank you so much for having me. And when I saw that you were starting this, I said, yes. I read a status you put up. And when that message from you came in that you wanted me to be a part of it, I said, okay, here we go. And for me to watch someone who I have admired and truly cared about since I was a young teenager. And to see them still have that same passion, that same love, and just to see the things that I necessarily couldn't see in myself at times, and sometimes I don't even know, you know, because I'm still human. And for you to be there like you have been, it is truly an honor and a blessing. So, I mean, I thank you in return.
Should I tell our listeners about my Chicken Soup for the Soul book that you borrowed and never returned at the age of 14 when you're going through some heartbreak? We should have known then. We should have known you'd be this beautiful person now. Chicken Soup for the Soul at 14 years old.
Listen.
Okay.
That story's good, that chicken soup story.
I know. It is. It's a great story. We both love it. Darnell Denzel Williams, thank you so much for being on our show today. I know our listeners got so much out of what you had to tell them, and they can apply it in many different ways. Keep making the world a better place, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and God bless. Thank you.
So, wow, listeners, just hearing Dee Dee's voice pumps me up and lifts my spirits. He talked about a lot of really good things. He says, I am. He says, be bold. He says, get out, explore, start with something small. So here's what I challenge you to do today, your go-do. I want you to either get on our Facebook page, Motivate Me, Ultimate Support System, or open up your journal. And I want you to write, if you were to be bold, what would you do to help your community today?